Hello, Cleveland. Welcome to another episode of the Dogland Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Jokey. It is combine time in the NFL out in Indianapolis. So we have plenty to talk about because we had Andrew Berry speak. We had Kevin Stefanski speak to the media. So we're looking forward to talking about that a little bit, but I can't do this alone. I got my co-host, Jackson McCurry, alongside with me. Jack, man, how we doing?
Doing well, man. It's an exciting time. Shout out to Kent Lee Platt, aka Math Bomb on X, who is flooding football fans' timelines with relative athletic scores. It's a good time of the year because, you know, for a guy like me, Anthony, who's been doing mock drafts since September, which might be, you know, qualifying me to for like some kind of insane asylum. This is a great time because now we're seeing like the testing, see if it matches up with what people have been watching on film. Draft season is in full swing, brother.
Yeah, we're gonna have to put you in a home with Stephen Thomas because you know I know Stephen doesn't do it anymore, but you know, he went a few solid years of doing these things every day, and which is not like the level you're at yet, but it's just incredible to be able to do it for so long. And we miss Stephen. We really do. If you're listening, Stephen, we really miss you.
We sure do.
You know, it's been a lot of fun talking all the draft stuff, the combine going on, seeing some of the reactions to some of the things that we've seen. We just saw Chop Robinson have a really good 40 time defensive end from Penn State. So, you know, it's hype train time. You know, these guys start to build some hype for themselves with the combine. And, you know, it's good that, you know, we get a little taste of football between, you know, now and free agency and the draft, you know, watching these guys, watching their numbers pile in. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it definitely is. I love this time of year. I've loved the draft for so long. Like, that's one of my first NFL memories was the draft. I think it was 2002 when the Browns drafted William Green, which obviously didn't work out, although he did have that iconic run at the end of the 2002 season to get us into the playoffs. But draft's always such an exciting time. The new crop of NFL talent comes in. The newest Cleveland Browns come in. Like, it's such a fun time, and going through this process, learning the potential new Browns and then seeing how they test at the combine, finding out who the Browns meet, which today's D-tackle day as we're recording, and a lot of the guys at Shine, the Browns have met with them already in Indy. So that bodes well because I think D-tackle is still a position that we need to add to that room because we got guys that might not come back. So it's good to know their names, get to see how they perform, and then going back and trying to watch the film and seeing if it matches up to how they're testing in Indy. So it's I love this process for sure.
Yeah, you know, whether it's the draft or free agency, the Browns definitely need to add or retain in the defensive tackle room. But
absolutely.
In terms of free agency, there is the cap, and the Browns created a little over 11 or freed up $11 million in cap by restructuring Denzel Ward's contract that now gives them $3.6 million in cap room. They were just like 7.5 over or so in the cap, so they finally get under it, which they had to be by the first day of the league year. There will be other restructures that come along as well, but you know, the Browns were able to free up some cap room with Denzel Ward, and he will be the first of a handful of guys that get their contracts reworked, so that way the Browns can look to be major players in free agency.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they took $14.199 million of Ward's base salary, turned it into a signing bonus, and they tacked on a void year for cap purposes. Like you said, they saved $11.359 million, according to Tom Pelissero. So they're under the cap now. We know Deshaun Watson's contract will probably get restructured at some point, but they are under the cap. So now they can start, you know, planning out their free agency. I was talking to Jack Duffin, Anthony, and he kind of said he could see the Browns not really doing anything right now, but still like negotiating, talking to agents, especially once the league year starts, because obviously that's when the legal tampering begins. But we know the tampering is going on right now in Indy, and then create cap space when they need to. Right now they're under the cap, which they're abiding by the league rules. But he was like, they'll negotiate with free agents, but agents will see that cap number and won't be able to use the Browns as leverage because the Browns have 3.6 million in cap space. I'm sure agents are smart enough to realize that the Browns can create cap by restructuring contracts and whatnot, but you know, maybe the Browns can be sneaky in free agency and you know, be able to work some magic like Andrew Berry's been able to do. But they're under the cap now. We don't have to worry about that. And now Andrew Berry and them can get to work on free agency.
Hey, get to work on free agency. You know, we'll see what all they do, but we're about a week and a half away from the first day of free agency. So that'll be an exciting time for sure. The Browns and Andrew Berry released some other news as well. They are going to return to Greenbrier for the second straight year. It seemed to go really well for the team this year. There's a lot of team building that we heard about that went on down at Greenbrier. And also, as they have done over the last few seasons, they are going to have joint practices. This year, they will be with the Minnesota Vikings, which, you know, I guess you could kind of expect it because of the relationship with our front office and their front office with Kwesi being in charge over there in Minnesota. So, you know, these expectations or these practices should be a lot of fun. You know, the Vikings are coming off a tough end of their season where Kirk Cousins, you know, tore his Achilles late in the year there. And, you know, we'll see what happens with him over Minnesota this year. But the next time these two teams see each other, they'll be having practice out in Berea.
Yeah, and that confirms one of the Browns preseason opponents. It's going to be the Minnesota Vikings. So yeah, I mean, there's history there. Like you mentioned, our front office, their front office with Kwesi being the GM out there, but that was where Kevin Stefanski spent all of his NFL coaching career before coming to the Browns as head coach in 2020. So you got that going there. Very similar last year, the Browns and the Vikings, you know, with the quarterback situation, they had to go through numerous quarterbacks just like the Browns did. Fortunately, the Browns, or fortunately for the Browns, they still made it to the playoffs. The Vikings had a tough year. But that's going to be interesting with them because we don't know if Kirk Cousins is coming back. There's a contract situation of some sort with Justin Jefferson, which has led to some trade speculation, which I think would be absolutely crazy. And then the future of the quarterback position with Minnesota, that's going to be interesting. Do they move up for a quarterback? Do they bring back Cousins? That's going to be a fun storyline to watch during the offseason. But that joint practice should be fun. You know, my buddy Ryan is a Vikings fan, and he said he can't wait to see our defensive line go up against their offensive line. Because he thinks it's going to be a great test for that young offensive line they're building in Minnesota. So that'll be fun during training camp to see that. And I'm excited that the Browns are going back to Greenbrier. It seemed like Stefanski loved it. The team loved it being there. Like you said, it was a good team building situation for them to go down there, get away from Berea for 2 weeks. And that's a good way to start the season and to set the tone. So for them to go back, it was rumored towards the end of the year that they were going to do this again, but now it's official. So I'm looking forward for them to go back to Greenbrier because I think that's a good team building, good chemistry situation for the team that had good chemistry and good bonding during the last season. And it set the tone for what was a fun Brown season in 2023.
Do you have any issues with the Browns not being in Berea for the length of training camp? Because it does, you know, limit the amount of practices that fans can go to and see. Does that give you, you know, is that any issue for you?
Not really. I mean, for me personally, no. I haven't been to training camp since 2013. I can get why some fans would be upset, especially ones with kids, because I think it's a good experience for the youth to go out there, see the Browns practicing, get up close and personal with the players and everything. But I understand it, like why they're going to Greenbrier. So I don't have an issue with it personally. I also think like they're doing a lot of renovating and stuff in Berea. So I think it's also good for them to get those things done. Kevin Stefanski mentioned that they're renovating the weight room, which obviously fans don't go into the training facility. But I think it's good because it gives the Browns more time to fix the facility up. I know that they're doing a lot of work there to improve the facilities. So I don't have a problem with it personally. I think at the end of the day, they got to do what's best for the team and the organization. And yeah, you want to, you know, be open and inviting to the fans and everything. And yeah, there won't be as many open practices, but at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for the organization.
It would be cool to take a tour of that facility. I've taken a tour of Brown Stadium before, but I think taking a tour of the offices and everything in Berea, the weight room and all that stuff, I think that would be fun to do as well someday.
Yeah.
It just to see kind of the behind the scenes aspect of it. But Andrew Berry spoke a little bit more, and he said that he is one of the people leading the charge because every year there are rule changes with the NFL, and he is a big proponent of moving the trade deadline back a couple weeks. Now, obviously, this year that really would have benefited the Browns with the trade deadline being moved back with, you know, all the different quarterback situation and things like that. But, you know, with the NFL season being a week longer now, when they extended the schedule to 17 games, they didn't really touch the trade deadline. I think having it a couple weeks later makes sense. Hopefully it's just like one of those common sense things that the NFL will adopt and or even like meet in the middle. You know, he's proposing 2 weeks, maybe they'll do 1 week for now. But I think it would make a lot of sense for them to extend the trade deadline at least a couple more weeks, especially with how long the NFL season is.
Yeah, he actually, you know, he went into good detail as to why they're proposing this. And it's not just him. There's several teams getting behind it. He said, we think as a league, it makes sense to give the teams the most flexibility as long as possible to have the best product down the stretch run into the playoffs. And then he said, we wanted to make sure that we can maintain the competitive integrity of the season so you don't get into player dumping late in the year. And then he brought up some statistics. The proposal would move it to about 55% of the games played, which would still be the earliest of trade deadlines among the major American sports. He said the NHL is 78% of the season is gone, and the NBA and Major League Baseball around 65% of the games played. So it would still kind of push it closer to those levels, but still be last. I actually love this idea, Anthony. I think it's a good idea. Maybe even if they pushed it a little bit farther than that too. I think it would make it more exciting. Like the NFL trade deadline isn't like the sexiest one of the major American sports. If you pushed it towards week 11 or even maybe a little bit farther, you might see more moves. Teams like trying to make a push. You know, we've seen the 49ers trade for Chase Young at the deadline this past year. There's been some other big trades the last couple years, but if they pushed it back farther, and I do hope this goes through, the owners meet in March, and they'll actually, when the vote will happen. So I just think it would make it more exciting, more roster shakeups. And the NFL loves the attention. So you would think this would create even more of a buzz and more attention towards the league.
And, you know, if it's later on, you have more, you know, more teams know how their season is going to go, you know, by like week 11 or week 12, maybe at the latest. So, you know, they know for sure if they're going to be all in, if they're maybe not going to make it. Those few weeks could be huge in kind of determining and evaluating your roster for the next season, you know, based on where you're at. You know, hopefully it doesn't turn into like full tank situations. I mean, we know teams tank already, but, you know, you have the teams that sell off their players, you know, once they start to fall out of it. Or know that they're, you know, purposely trying to do it. But, you know, giving them a couple extra weeks, I think would really be helpful, especially for the teams that are in it, to try and add as much as possible. And, you know, you just seen teams constantly be aggressive in the trades over the last handful of years. The Rams for sure are one of those. The Niners is, mm-hmm. as well. So, you know, these teams get aggressive. They go for it, and sometimes it pays off. So I think it'd be a better thing overall to have the trade deadline move back, but we'll see what the NFL and the owners decide to do with the trade deadline.
Well, and think about this. The last trade deadline, which was, it was after week 8, we had just lost to Seattle. There was rumors that the Browns were looking at potentially trading for Josh Dobbs, who was in Arizona, who ultimately got traded to Minnesota. And there was the rumors about Jacoby Brissett. That was at week 8. The next week, Deshaun came back, had a good game against Arizona. And then week 10 is, you know, obviously the comeback win against Baltimore, but Deshaun breaks his shoulder. So imagine if the deadline was pushed back those 2 weeks, the Browns find out Deshaun breaks his shoulder. Do they still go out and sign Joe Flacco and roll with DTR? And you see how we all seen how that transpired, or do those 2 extra weeks and that, you know, obviously what happens to Deshaun, does Andrew Berry then go make a move for Jacoby Brissett? Or if Josh Dobbs hadn't got traded to Minnesota yet, do they make that move? Like, this is why pushing it back, because you get these kind of situations where it could have changed the whole landscape of the 2023 Browns if the trade deadline goes back 2 weeks and that happens, or the Browns are able to go make another move, like they go get Chase Young or they go get somebody else in the NFL. Like, that's what would make it more exciting, because you think about those what if scenarios.
And it also could have impacted the draft as well, because maybe it would have cost the Browns a steeper price to get Brissett 2 weeks later than it did at the regular trade deadline too. So it could be a win for everybody. Hopefully it's just one of those common sense things that the NFL and the owners will take on and approve here.
For sure.
Speaking of Deshaun Watson, Andrew Berry talked to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, and one of the quotes in there, he stated that we just want Watson to be available. And you and I have talked about on this podcast for 7 years now, the best attribute of any player is availability. And, you know, unfortunately with Watson, he had a suspension the first year. He was injured this last season. So the availability part hasn't been there, and we can debate all you want about the play, but if you're not on the field to be available to your teammates and to the organization, that definitely impacts how they think about you moving forward. So I'm with Barry on this. We need him to be available. Hopefully things will be ready, you know, for him to start throwing here shortly and be able to be ready for training camp. So look, I'm with Andrew Berry here. Let's just get him available so that way we could have him out on the field for all 17 games.
Yeah. I mean, to add further context, Florio asked Andrew Berry about Deshaun Watson and living up to the contract, because it hasn't worked out yet in the first 2 years. And Andrew said, he goes, it's not about just, we're not worried about living up to the contract. He goes, we just want him to be available. And I think that's the biggest key. Obviously we're entering year 3 of the Deshaun Watson era. You know, the first year he only played 6 games because of the suspension. You know, last year he had some success. Obviously the last time we saw him, epic comeback against Baltimore, goes 14 of 14. The Browns come back to win, beat the Ravens. And then the next day, I think it was the next day or like within those couple of days, we find out he broke his shoulder. He's out for the rest of the year. So obviously the durability question is going to be a big factor coming into 2024. The questions about his shoulder, I think, are going to be key. He is going to start throwing here in the next couple of weeks. Andrew and Coach Stefanski both said that in their press conferences. Kevin and Ken Dorsey are actually going out to LA to quote unquote hang out with Watson. But we all know they're probably going to watch Watson throw with his team out there in UCLA. So that's going to be interesting. But we all, you know, that Deshaun Watson's going to be here. Obviously, they're probably going to restructure his contract to create more flexibility to add more talent. But Deshaun's going to be here. It's up to him now at this point. I think the Browns have given him pretty much everything to succeed here. He's obviously had some good moments. He's had some not so good moments here during his 2 years. But we just need to see the old Deshaun come back. And, you know, he's got to be available first and foremost, but we got to see glimpses of that Houston Deshaun. Who knows if we're going to see it at this point? We saw flashes last year against Tennessee, against Arizona, against Baltimore. But we need him to put it all together and have a full-fledged season to see if this trade's ever going to pay off, because right now it's really not. But you got to hope as a Browns fan that he could come out there and be the best quarterback he can be and help the Browns be in a situation to win football games, make it to the playoffs, and hopefully make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, as of right now, it really hasn't paid off because of how much Houston has improved, and they beat you in a playoff game Deshaun Watson won one. So that says a lot at the moment of where things stand with the trade. In terms of backup quarterback, there have been some rumors swirling about, you know, whether Joe Flacco is going to come back or if they're going to sign somebody else. And some of the rumors are that they are going to go after one of their old backup quarterbacks in Jacoby Brissett. I would imagine he's in play for a handful of teams. I've seen a lot online today about would the Patriots consider him, because the Patriots are looking to retool their quarterback room as well, with probably Mac Jones headed out of there. But what would your thoughts be about bringing Jacoby Brissett back?
Oh, I'd love it. I would love Jacoby when he was here in 2022. I think he did the best he could in a interesting situation surrounding obviously the Deshaun suspension, having to play with a crappy defense and trying to do the best he can with that situation. I thought he had a good year, a good connection with Amari Cooper. Obviously had a solid running game with Nick Chubb here. I think he did the best he could. The rumors are interesting because Mary Kay Cabot and Zach Jackson have both mentioned him as a possibility. Our colleague and good friend Jared Mueller wrote on Wednesday, it says Jacoby Brissett returning feels almost certain, but that assumes New England and Arizona don't offer him more money, which obviously that's going to be a situation. Based on the reports, like you had mentioned, New England, it sounds like they're going to sign some kind of veteran quarterback and then draft one with the third pick in the draft. So that's an interesting situation. But it seems like the Browns are going to add a veteran quarterback, which would lead you to believe, Anthony, that there's some skepticism in the organization about Deshaun's shoulder. You know, there's obviously been the rumors about Joe Flacco coming back. Jared mentions that it's highly unlikely Flacco's not coming back. I could see New England being a spot for him as well because of Alex Van Pelt and some of the coaches that made their way up to New England to join Gerard Mayo's staff. So it'll be interesting once the new league year starts if the Browns like move quickly to add a vet. I know Mitch Trubisky's name's been linked by Mary Kay. She mentioned Gardner Minshew, but I feel like that's a guy that can go start somewhere, at least be a bridge quarterback for a team that's going to draft somebody. So I feel like they're going to add someone, and I kind of agree with the sentiment from our local media. If it's going to be somebody, it's going to be Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, I think it would make a lot of sense. And if you look at the style of the two quarterbacks they have on a roster right now, Watson and DTR, with, you know, Flacco being a free agent, Jacoby fits those two guys. Like, they're of the similar style. So I think it would make a lot of sense in that sense. So we'll see if they decide to bring him back. I'm sure we'll find out here over the next couple of weeks. All right. It is combine weekend. So we thought, since you have been really diving into the draft, and, you know, I haven't as much yet. So this is going to be mainly on you. Give us a couple positions to watch. I think I kind of know where you're going with this, but give us a couple positions to watch during the combine this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the groups going today, linebackers and D tackles. I think those are two groups that if you're not watching the combine on Thursday, is when we're recording, definitely guys to watch there. Trying to think of the guy's name, Brandon Fisk out of Florida State. He's having a really good combine. Really good size, speed. He posted a 4.78 40. Really good relative athletic score. The only question mark with him, Anthony, he's 24 years old. So that's where like the guardrails are going to come into play this year, because I think this is an older draft class compared to past years, because I think a lot of underclassmen decided to stay that extra year at college, get some NIL money, and maybe improve on their draft stock. I know a big group of Buckeyes went back to school, I think, for exactly that, to try to improve their draft stock, and knowing they got guaranteed NIL money waiting for them in Columbus. But Fisk was a guy. Dwayne Carter is another guy I've liked during the process at D-tackle. Chris Jenkins out of Michigan, he had a really good day on the field. Mason Smith, I know, is a guy that the media has kind of latched on. He's a D-tackle at LSU. He had a really good day on Thursday on the field during the drills, so that's another guy to watch. And then this weekend, I think wide receiver, obviously, because I think that's a position the Browns do need to address this offseason in some form. I would go one guy in free agency, one guy in the draft personally, and then running backs, Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin, Estime out of Notre Dame is another guy I like that I want to watch some more of, because I haven't watched a lot of them, but the stuff I have gotten to watch, I really like. And then for like a late guy that I really like, Frank Gore Jr. out of Southern Miss. Obviously, the name speaks for himself. His dad's going into Canton one day, into the Hall of Fame. But he kind of established himself at Southern Miss. He's a little back. He's obviously not as big as his dad was. But for a guy that's 5'8", 195 pounds, Anthony, he generated a lot of yards after contact. And, you know, he's a tough guy to bring down for a guy so little. Kind of gave me some Nick Chubb vibes. But those are guys I like at that in that position group. So those are the three positions I've been watching a lot, is D tackle. I'll watch wide receiver and I'll watch running back this weekend.
Yeah. I think, you know, all three of those are big time candidates, for the Browns to add, whether it is the draft or free agency. You released your mock draft, 4.0 over on Dogs by Nature on Monday. And I wanted to dive a little bit into this, because you did have, two of those positions in there. You had a wide receiver and running back. You didn't have a D tackle, but, you know, give us, I'm not going to read every name off of here, but give us, you know, a couple breakdowns on a couple of these guys of who you think like is an absolute have to have, on this mock draft of yours.
Okay. So I'll just say, like, doing these mock simulators, the wide receivers keep going up the board, and we have the pick 50. So it's either pick 54 or pick 55. It just depends on the website for some reason, but on PFF, we have pick 55. But I took Jalen Polk in this scenario. I do like him. I also like his teammate, Jalen McMillan at Washington. There's three really good Washington receivers in this draft. We won't even touch the first one, Odunze. But Jalen Polk's pretty good. He's got good size, got good speed, good explosiveness. I think he would be a good fit as a number two, a future number two. I think he probably starts down towards the end of the depth chart early on in Cleveland, just because of the talent that's already in there, Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore. But I think he could work his way up quickly and be a good fit in this Ken Dorsey / Kevin Stefanski style offense. So that would be like one of the guys that I would be open to taking at pick 55. We'll move down the board a little bit. Pick 135. I took Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin. Liked him early on in the process. Thought he was going to go higher. Right now he's a projected like fourth or fifth round pick. I think if he tests well this weekend, that might change the opinions of some. But very explosive runner. He's only 20 years old. He's probably like one of the youngest players in this draft class, but had 3,400 rushing yards in three seasons, 77 explosive runs according to PFF, which are carries of 10 yards or more. I think he could be a good fit alongside Nick Chubb. and Jerome Ford in the running back room. And then probably one of my favorite picks in this draft class, offensive tackle, pick 148. I took Javon Foster. When I did my first mock back in September, Anthony, he was like a late day three pick. He's an older guy, he's a fifth year senior, but he's been solid year in and year out for Missouri. I think he was a top 10 offensive tackle graded by Pro Football Focus this year, had a good week at the Senior Bowl. I can't wait to see how he tests this week. But I think this could be another like potential sleeper pick by Andrew Berry. If they get him on day three of the draft, I think he's a guy that could plug in perhaps next year to replace Jedrick Wills at left tackle. And I really like what I've seen out of him. Obviously, he went up against some of the toughest competition in football in the SEC, those great defensive lines, Georgia, Bama, et cetera. I think Foster could be one of the sleeper picks of this draft class.
You know, they definitely need one, because not only do you have the question about Jed Wills, you know, we're not sure about what's going to happen with Jack Conklin. You do have DeJuan Jones, but you know, your top three tackles had season ending injuries. So, this last season. So you really have to have a good plan, I think, going into this year, especially if maybe a couple of those guys aren't 100% as they start the season off. I kind of am intrigued by Braylon Allen. You know, the production was definitely there, and still only being 20, you know, getting him on a rookie deal would be great. You know, I think we're kind of in the same mindset, right? You know, they're going to take an offensive lineman. They've done that mm-hmm. every year. They're probably going to take a corner. I think they've done that every year as well. So I think you could kind of pencil in those two positions. If you had to like guarantee one or two more positions when you do these mock drafts, what would those be?
I would say they're going to draft a linebacker, which I did in my mock, my most recent mock. I took Darius Musau, I think that's how you pronounce his name, from UCLA. I do think they're going to address linebacker because they have JOK right now, and then the rest of the guys are free agents. We both said that we think Taki Taki should come back. You know, they got some of the special teams guys that are free agents, but I do think they'll add at least one linebacker. And then if I had to guess another position, I'd say edge, honestly, because I feel like they've added an edge, I think, almost every year in Andrew Berry's draft history. I'll double check that. But I know they added McGuire last year, Alex Wright the year before that. I know they drafted Isaiah Thomas the 1 year, but I could see them adding another pass rusher. Like they have Miles, they have Okoronkwo, they have Wright and McGuire. They may add one in free agency. Darius might come back. But they might add a guy on day three and just stash him on, like, try to slide him onto the practice squad and just be that developmental guy, like that Isaiah Thomas type edge that they'll just try to mold into something that they can bring up in 2025 as a potential depth piece. So I'll say they draft an edge.
So Andrew Berry came in 2020, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he did not take one that year. He took Jordan Elliott. And then last year, 2021, they did not take one. They took Tommy Togiai for defensive tackle that year. So the last 2 years, though, they have taken a defensive end. They've taken three. They took two in 2022 and one last year. So that would
be... Well, they've taken a D tackle every year. So maybe D tackle is the position that they'll definitely draft one.
Possibly. And you know what, they needed to, because their D tackle that they took 2 years ago is no longer on the team. Togiai is not, and Jordan Elliott's a free agent. So,
yeah,
I could definitely see them, taking a defensive tackle, as well. So we'll see, you know, there's a lot that can go on between now and the draft, and how mm-hmm. that all shakes out. But, we'll see what Andrew Berry cooks up in free agency and then in the draft as well, because he definitely typically does a good job of that. So we'll see. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we get on out of here?
No, I don't think so. I think we covered everything else we needed to cover, because it's our second episode this week. So definitely go back and listen to our previous one if you guys haven't already.
Yeah, don't yell at me because it took me a while to really think it.
Don't
together.
Sweat it, brother.
I'll try to get this one out in a timely manner. I promise it won't be, you know, Monday when this one comes out.
That's fine.
I would imagine we'll be back next week. I think we'll wrap up the combine next week, as well as dig into the free agent class, because the free agency is about a week and a half away. So I think we could kind of touch upon the both of those the next time you and I talk.
For sure.
All right. Be sure to give Jack a follow at JackMcCurry08. Be sure to check out his latest mock draft over at Dogs by Nature. Be sure to give me a follow at Anthony Jokey, Jokey, the Dogland on X, Instagram, Facebook, all at the same handle, the Dogland. With that, we will get on out of here. Y'all have a great weekend. And remember always, go Browns.